Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Gymnastics Podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things gymnastics. And this week, we're going to be sharing our predictions for the 2024 NCAA Conference Championships this weekend. But before we get into that, we have a quick interview with Lainey Madsden, who launched her very own leotard company last week. If you're not familiar with Lainey's story, she's one of the top all-star cheerleaders in the country. She's a world champion and has won numerous national titles. But she also fell in love with gymnastics when watching the 2012 Olympics. How could you not? Started doing gymnastics at the age of 12, and within 2 years, she had progressed to the point where she was being invited to U.S. national team camps. She eventually ended up switching to compete for Bulgaria, where she competed at the World Championships in 2019 and became the very first person ever to compete in both the cheerleading and gymnastics World Championships in the same year. She has a really unique story, and we actually had her on the show back in 2020, if you want to hear a little bit more about her career. But we're so excited to have her back on the show as she starts a new chapter, a new endeavor as a businesswoman. On her 23rd birthday last week, she launched Joanna, which is her very own leotard company, and we can't wait for you all to learn a little bit more about it. So we have a lot of questions about your new leotard company, of course, but before we get into that, kind of wanted to start with a little update because the last time we talked a while ago, you were an athlete. You were doing gymnastics and cheerleading. So let's start with a little update on your athletic endeavors.
I love to do things and no one knows what's going on. And then I just drop a comment and then everyone's really confused and has no idea what I'm doing. It's what I do.
Like you're secretly training in gymnastics for the whole time and you're
people think that I'm people are she still does gymnastics. I'm no girl. You would know. That's the thing though. If I was doing gymnastics, there would be an edit. There'd be a video. Why am I if I don't make a post on Instagram about something, you know? So I'm not doing gymnastics anymore. I had a really bad shoulder injury and I ended up getting surgery in 2021. And I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses or being dramatic, but it's so bad. It's horrible. I can't even wash my hair without it wanting to leave the room. So yeah.
And all these years later, it still hurts.
16 dislocations to this day is where we're at. It's a mess. And then the other one has gone 3 times, but we're giving her grace because 3 compared to 16, she doesn't really deserve that much attention. But it's a little bit of a mess, but it's okay because so I struggled with this for a really long time. And I think this is something that a lot of people can relate to because there's that big shiny story of I did this and I won and blah, blah, blah. And there are humans that have that version. That's amazing. But there's also the version where it doesn't always go like that. And that's a common thing too. So I think the hardest thing for me was having to accept that things didn't go exactly how I thought and wanted them to go. But I almost learned more because loss changes us way more than a win could ever change you. I just kind of have that perspective that I have now because of the fact that I didn't get certain things that I thought I was going to. Also, are my hoops slamming into the AirPods?
No, it's fine.
No, yeah, you're fine.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm we can't be a glamazon and have a good conversation. I'm just making sure. I hear the hoops just slamming into the AirPods. I'm oh my God, is this what it sounds like on the other side? So it's just sometimes not getting what you wanted is actually way better than you getting what you thought you wanted. Things in gymnastics didn't end the way I wanted them to and thought they were going to and worked for them to, but it led me down, still is, and it's going to continue. And I'm so glad and thankful that it will because I'm only 23. I love to sit and pretend I know everything because doesn't everybody in their 20s, but I have so much ahead, thank God, and I'm going to change so much more again, thank God. But it's because of the things that I lost and didn't get. So I don't do gymnastics anymore, but I've changed no other. Joanna exists. I didn't get certain things that I thought I was going to, and that's because I just had this desire to create things and build things and just grow, and literally I'm telling you it's only because I didn't get something. So it's I'm not yay, things didn't go the way I wanted, but it's I would rather be where I'm at now than where I thought I wanted to be. So
everything that happened in your life led you to where you are today.
Exactly. So I don't do gymnastics anymore physically, but I'm really, really happy because this is a way for me to kind of still be connected to it. I had my time where I was oh my God, gymnastics, because it was I went through a lot in it. And I think it's a rebellious child when you get a lot on you, you want to drift away from it. And then you kind of, Hannah Montana always find your way back home. And I feel like that's this version for me right now. I'm in my last season of cheer. I don't know. It's been 500 years. Believe me, I know. I'm also kind of girl.
You're going to be fine because now you're a businesswoman.
Yes, see, so now, but we're transitioning. So we don't do gymnastics anymore. We have our last season of cheer. I'm in school. I work. And now I'm creating this business life, which is so fun and so new because it's like familiar but new. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm honestly, I'm just becoming an adult. That's like what I'm doing. I'm in that like transitional period of where I'm kind of growing out of where I was and growing into where I'm going to be and, you know, the next step of me. 'Cause it's all me. Every version of me is still me. It's just like a different layer of who I am.
So now, was starting a Leo company something that you always wanted to do? I guess, how did the idea come about? And then, what has been the process of starting a Leo company?
I did not always want to do it. I've always been very into Leos because, you know, from cheer, it's all about more and more glam and more glitter and more makeup and everything has to be extra and a lot. And it's just, that's how I like was raised kind of. So then I went into gymnastics and I was kind of like, aren't we supposed to be extra? What's going on? And that's not as common, but in cheer, it's so like big on like what you're wearing and your makeup and the hair needs to be bigger and we need to lift it more. And like, that was something that I always like had so much fun with. Now I'm able to do that with gymnastics because it's like I'm able to create something that makes me feel good, which makes people feel good when they wear it. So it's like I didn't always want to have a Leo company, but I always appreciated what I was wearing and loved it and liked it and loved to. Once I was able to design and like make my own Leos kind of when I went into Elite, that's when I started to get like, like I kind of like this. And I first would work with like different like Leo companies and I was like, they're not doing like what I want. And I'm like, I like love you. And it's like, it's kind of there, but it's like not my idea. So then I got creative and my mom is a business queen herself as well. We love her. She's just the biggest inspiration of my life. And she would like kind of help me make them towards like the end of my Elite career. And I think that's where that started because it was like, it wasn't the time, and I think timing is everything in life. That was not the time for it, but it sparked and like planted that seed of like, could we maybe do something with this later down the road? Because we would literally like get a Leo and then she would like the like do the stones and like the designs and everything. And I was like, wait, like we're doing it how like we like and how we want it, and like what I have in my brain, we're putting it out here. So that's I think where that thought kind of first got planted. And then now I was just in a place in my life where I needed something to work hard at and I needed something to be proud of. Why this is important to me is that a couple of years ago, like when I was little and I first started gymnastics, I was a Olympic gymnast for Halloween. And I think that's an important thing because the Red Leo 2012, because those queens literally changed my life. You know the Red Leo with the stones and like the star here and it goes out. This Leo literally was like, God, I would have like if my house is burning, I'm taking that Leo because it meant so much to me because it symbolized a dream for me at the time. So that's why it's not just a Leo. And I also, when I would wear it, I would feel really good and I always had a good day in it. This is another thing. Everybody knows we have these Leos that you have a good day in. So it's like being able to hopefully create something that even if it's not today, but like down the road, is that for someone else that they know they always get new skills in this Leo and they always feel good in it and they always feel like they look better in it and they have a better day and they feel prettier in it. Like whatever it may be and whatever that means to you, I want to be able to give, create, and have something that allows another human to feel good. Because I think my biggest thing is I just like I think my purpose in life is helping people. And even if it's a something as like small as like something you put on your body or a talk or whatever it may be, like that's something I hope for. Hopefully, yeah, one of these Leos, I have them here, guys.
Oh my gosh. I was looking at your earlier. They are so beautiful.
Yes. Oh my God. Thank you.
So
Yay. I'm
pretty.
so happy to hear that. Well, there's so many ideas I still have. These were designed like months ago. So my brain's already on like different things now, but it's like now out. My brain's on like another thing. I feel like it's like when like singers like make songs. They like write a song, they work on it for months, and then it comes out and I'm like, we're already on a different thing. That's kind of like how my brain is with these designs. Because I'm not making music, but I'm like making art kind of. It's a design and something like that. So my brain's already like on the next thing, but I'm like, okay, girl, hold on. Like, we need to go one thing at a time. But yeah, so I feel like that's like, I didn't always have this dream, but it slowly began to grow because as I got older, I acknowledged the meaning of everything in life differently. And I acknowledged the meaning of a Leo, as simple as that. So I think that's where that recently started to grow and sprout.
So now, do you have like a team of people that you're working with, or you're doing this all by yourself? How are you doing this?
A lot of it is on my own. I have a good friend of mine. He does my videos and my pictures. And then my mom is involved as well, because, like I said, that's my main queen in life. So we kind of all work together and do it. So it is a lot more of like a smaller team and smaller group for now. But I feel like it's better to keep things smaller
Yeah.
and a little bit more personal. I enjoy it more. I have more fun with it. I can also be more honest because they know how I am. And if I'm, being like, no, it's ugly. No, I don't like that. Like, I can just be a little bit more raw. And like I said, it just feels more personal. So.
So, how did you learn how to do all this? And I know you said you're in school. Are you in school for anything related to what you're doing with your business?
I'm in school for things related to another one that I'm doing, which is called Lanes to Change,
T,
which
okay.
that's like helping. Yeah, thank you, girl. We're working hard. I want to do a lot with my life. I'm like, okay, we need to. When it's time for me to wrap this life up, I want to look back and be like, okay, you did it. Like you did good. Proud
Yeah.
of you. Because I only get one life. I need to do good, and I need to help people. I need to make an impact. And like, I don't want me falling four times on the beam to be on my tombstone. Like, I need to have more than that. That's
I think
terrible.
we might move
So
past that, maybe, hopefully.
you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. It's everybody's favorite thing to bring up when they're mad at me. And I'm like, okay.
We should be talking about your iconic 2019 floor routine, but
Is it iconic though? I don't know. It wasn't that great. In my opinion, it wasn't that great. The music was so much fun though.
I like that routine. I loved it. I love that routine. I go back and watch stuff from time to time.
Don't know. The skills weren't what I liked. 20 my like in 2017, my passes, like the skills were better, in my opinion. I got a little older and I, grew into my personality, sorry, a little bit more. So the music and the choreo got a little bit more fun. But if we could combine that with my 2017 skills, I think we would have definitely pumped up the party. But
Okay,
we can't have it all.
leotard. So, like, how did you learn how to do this? And maybe it's just me not understanding anything about how to make a Leo. So, you have your fabric, right? How are you going about designing what it's going to look like, sewing it together, putting all the stones on it? Like, how do you know how to do that?
Well, so like I said, my mom is very familiar with this. Like I said, she has a business in this stuff in sports bras, bows, scrunchies, shorts, like all that stuff. So she's familiar with all this. So she's kind of guided me into that. And then I've kind of am branching in my own little category of gymnastics with this.
Okay.
I myself do not hand make this. I do a lot of work, but I myself do not sit and like sweatshop this thing.
I mean,
No.
you did, but like it's still cool even if you don't.
They are handmade, but they're not from my hands.
From you,
Yes.
yeah.
We're an
Okay.
honest girl. My hands are not making them, but I stuff are like touched up by me.
Gotcha. So you're coming up with the designs. Do you come up with the design by hand? Or are you doing it digitally? Like, how do you do that?
Both. We do a little bit of both. So these kind of started from old Leos, that kind of what I was explaining earlier from 2019. The Leos that I was saying, like towards the end, that we kind of would like have fun with and kind of toy around with, they started from that. And then we kind of built off of it and kind of tweaked this and changed this color and changed this material. These are better material than those because it's important to me because nobody wants to see everything under that. It's got a little bit of thickness. They're not thick, but I hate like see-through Leos. Like, hate. And it used to drive me absolutely crazy. So it was really important to me that the fabric was good and that the cuts were good, if you know what I mean? Because we don't need anything flying out. So it was really important to me that little things like that existed in something that I was creating. Because I just know for myself looking back, like, oh my God, this would drive me crazy and I hated this and I hated that. Like, so I wanted to kind of not have that if I'm gonna put something out. So yeah, it kind of just started from that. And then we would like work on the designs and I would do some of it on my phone because my phone's with me at all times because, we all live with our phones forever. So it's easy because I can just like, if I get an idea, like if I'm sitting in the car, I can like work on it. Or if I can't enough how I want on my phone, then I would like draw it out. But it just has to be like drawn out and like digitally created enough so we can like get the proper idea to make it in real life. So that's where things get difficult sometimes because when I edit, I'm not that great of an editor at all times. And like, there'll be like a line. And I'll be like, so you want a line? And I'm like, no. Sorry, my editing is not so great. No line. So that's why drawing sometimes helps. But we kind of work and do a little bit of both.
So where do you get inspiration from for these designs? Because like I said, I was looking at them earlier. They are stunning, like super elegant. Some of the most beautiful Leos that I've ever seen. So where does the inspiration come from?
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. My crazy brain, like literally my brain, who that has so much going on in there at all times. Do you see how colorful they are? See how there's so many bright colors? That's my brain. That's the inside of my head. I don't know. I really, really, really like fashion. And like, as girls, like, don't we all? But I really, like, appreciate it. I'm like, outside of athletics, I've always been really into like music and fashion, which in my opinion are things that are created. So I really like things that are created. I like making videos because you create them. I appreciate music because people create it. I appreciate an outfit because you have to kind of create the outfit. So it's like, I really, really appreciate things that are created because I feel like a human's personality is shown through things that are created. I feel like you can get inspiration from anything. I think a lot of like dresses, a lot of things in fashion, a lot of models that I like and things that they wear can be tweaked and adjust. And like, you can, once you start with something, you can kind of run with it. And I have a lot of fun with that. A lot of like ice skating stuff are really cool to me. A lot of like Lululemon things are really cool to me. So it's like, if I see anything, I'm like, oh my God, that's cute. I should make a Leo out of it. That's like kind of what happens in my brain. You should see me when like the Grammys are going on.
The brain's going.
You don't want to sit next to me during the Met Ball, trust me.
I love the back of the blue one, and then also the like hot pink. I would say, that's not hot pink. Well, it's not hot pink, but like the brighter pink one. Oh, with the crisscross.
This back. One.
That's the light pink one. I'm looking at this one.
Hot pink. Oh my gosh, this one.
Yes, that's not hot pink.
Though. Everybody loves this one.
What color?
It's like a coral. Well, we're going for red, but you know. The world had better plans, and I'm just gonna trust it.
It's giving summer. I love it.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, I do like it. It's very fresh and like happy and light.
Out of these, there's four Leos, right, that you just launched?
Yep.
Out of the four, do you have a favorite?
I do like that one we were just talking about. Like when I put them on, that one made me feel like cool. Like I like that one.
Yeah.
But the pink one also feels so like cute and girly.
The color of the purple one is so pretty. Like the would it be like a lavender type color?
Thank you so much for acknowledging the colors, because I don't think you understand me with all these colors in front of me being like, oh my God, which one? So like, I'm so glad we like the colors.
The color stood out to me. Like when you put out the video earlier today.
Did we love the song choice? Please tell me we appreciated the song choice.
I've noticed that everything is Miley Cyrus too. And I love it. So it's on brand.
I love it. It's very me. It's original. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yay. I'm glad we like it.
Looking at like other Leo companies, a lot of them are like really busy and like bright colors and stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I like that yours are like sleek and like kind of simple, but still glamorous at the same time and detailed. Mm-hmm. You found like the right balance between being like bright, but also like, it's not too simple, but it's not too crazy. And it's not too
like me.
Yeah, like it's just like, it's very laney.
Simple, but extra. Yeah, that's what we're going for. Yeah, because I look at it and I'm like, what do I want to buy? I'm like, why would I put something out that I don't even want to buy? You know what I mean? So I always try to think, and I would like to think I have a decent opinion, because boy, do I like to shop. So I'm like, okay, come on, Laney. Like, would you buy this? So it's like, I look at all those and it's like, I would wear them, because when I look at some like other Leos, I totally appreciate and love everybody's ideas and all the different Leo companies, because if I didn't start gymnastics and wear Leos from these brands and these companies, I wouldn't have this. I have to give a world of credit to every single brand that I've ever worn myself, whether it be at a competition or a practice, because wearing their Leo sparked an inspiration to like another Leo that made me have a taste for this Leo and want to wear that Leo and brought me here. I have my own style and my own taste and my own things that I like. And I now, at 23, wouldn't really rock a whole floral snake print rainbow jam. So it's like, okay, how can we have colors and not look like we're in Depression Station and have some like fun to us, but also be clean, but glam? You know what I mean? Because no one wants something that's just like dead and blank, but no one wants something that's like insane and crazy, because we're just going to practice too. But we want to feel good. So it's like, how can we do this, but do that? How can we like be a whole disaster, but it works?
No, it totally works.
So yeah, thank
you. Is there anything else about this Leo company that you want people to know, or about you, anything that you want our listeners to get from this brand?
I think that coming from my own gymnastics career, we all know it was different. We all know that it had a different story and a different path. And if you don't know, look on the internet, you'll see there's plenty of people saying it themselves. Like I said earlier, it was important to me. I idea to create something that is familiar but a little bit different, because I feel like that's like what my story is in gymnastics. It's familiar because, like, you know, there's little things that are normal that I did, but it's also really different. I did things that also no one else ever did. You know, definitely there were, you know, my flaws and my bad days and my weaknesses that nobody certainly let me forget that I had them. But it's like, it was a concept of, even though it got difficult, even though it was different, it was important to me to work really hard and to still try to achieve something that was bigger than me and important to me and different and unique. And I feel like in a way, Joanna can represent that as well. It's familiar, but it's also a little bit different. Like, there are Leos that have, you know, little things that we recognize and we've seen girls wear and we've worn ourselves, but there's also little things to them that are a little bit different. You know, it's not that it doesn't exist, but it's a little bit more new and it's a little bit more fun and it's a little bit different. So I think just having that, being able to put something on that, like I said earlier, you know, I have a really good day in this Leo and it makes me feel good. It makes me feel more mean. It makes me feel more empowered, because clothing and things that we put on, it totally has that power. I love wearing oversized clothes, but when I wear oversized clothes, I don't really feel like I can take on the world. But it's like, if I go and I put on a good outfit and I get ready, I feel good and I feel ready to take on my day and I feel just a little bit more me. Gymnastics is hard. It's not easy. There's definitely days that get difficult mentally, physically, emotionally. And if someone can have something as little as, like, this is my lucky Leo, or this Leo makes me feel really cute, like, that can change a lot, especially when you're in the gym every single day and things feel really repetitive. Little things like that do make a difference. And it's important to me, like I said earlier, to, like, be able to do something that can give someone that little smidge of hope. I have hope tattooed on my pinky, so it's like my biggest thing. And the pink one's called hope. I want people to feel the most like them, whatever that may be. Whatever makes you different, whatever makes you you, embrace that and show up as that every single day. And wear whatever you want to wear, be wherever you want to be, love whatever you want to love, like, whatever it may be. I just only hope that I myself, you know, people that cross paths with me and we know each other and we're friends, get that impression. And if they wear the clothes that I put out, they get that feeling. I just want people to feel more like, if I can give you a little hug and give you that little strength to be more you, because that's all I kind of need at that time. So it's like, I've come to this point in life where my goal is to be someone to someone that I didn't have but needed. And that's what Lanes to Change also is kind of representing that. So I think Joanna can totally do that, because it's like, you know, as a girl, you get ready and you put it on, you want to feel cute and get glam and feel good and ready to, you know, to take on the world. And the rest is her story.
We want to say congratulations once again to Lainey on the launch of your own leotard company, Joanna. I feel like we said this a million times when we were talking to you, but these are truly some of the most stunning training leotards I think I have ever seen. And I so badly wish that I was still a gymnast so that I can have an excuse to buy one of your leotards. I mean, you could, right? Like, no one's stopping you. Go off.
I mean, that might be a little weird. I think I will
not leave sure
that.
How you would look, but I'm not too sure about that either. We'll leave that to the actual gymnasts out there who are listening. But that's honestly why we wanted to have Lainey on. Because we know we have a lot of gymnasts who listen to us, or parents or coaches. And Lainey was actually a former guest of the show. For those who have been listening for a long time,
one of the first guests that we ever had.
Yeah, so you may remember Lainey was on the show back in 2020. So it's been 4 years. Which is wild, but it's so cool just to see the things that she has gone on to do. Even though she's no longer a gymnast, she's about to wrap up her cheerleading career as well. She's still thriving, and this is a way for her to stay involved in the community, and I just love to see it. And I also think it's really cool to see an athlete launch their own leotard company. I'm, like, trying to rack my brain and think of, at least in recent years, if there have been any other gymnasts who have started their own company. And I'm not talking about those who have, like, their own Leo line with another, like, major leotard company.
A company that's, like, already established. Lainey's doing this, like, from the ground up. Like, these are handmade Leos. She's the boss of the company. Like, she's the one that's really putting in the work.
Yeah.
Along with her mom. But you don't see that often. Like you said, usually it's partnerships with already established companies. So I just think that's really respectable. There's a lot of hard work and time and energy that went into this. And I think you can see that.
So if you're a gymnast or you know a gymnast,
tell them to go check out Joanna Leotard's. We'll put a link down in the show notes below to the website. And then also make sure you are following Joanna Leotard's on social media. You'll find the page if you go to Lainey's Instagram, but also it's literally just Joanna Leotard's on Instagram. Joanna spelled J-O-A-N-N-A and then Leotard's. Okay, so to wrap up this episode, we are going to discuss our conference championships predictions. And we are going to do just the Power 5 conferences. So SEC, Big 10, Pac-12, Big 12, and the ACC. And we'll give you our top 3 predictions.
I have a feeling me and you are going to have the same predictions.
This might not be that fun. But they might be very similar. But we, as always, we didn't discuss this before we sat down. So we shall see how this unfolds. So we'll start with the SEC. I have LSU on top, Kentucky second, and Florida third.
Same.
Literally same. Okay, that wasn't sure about where you would have Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I assumed that we would both have LSU on top. They're essentially hosting. They're not holding it at the PMAC, but it's still being held in Baton Rouge. So it's, you know, they're going to have the home crowd, that home field advantage.
And the last time, I want to say it was 2018, maybe it was 2019.
I don't know. What are you saying?
The last time the SEC championships was held in this arena, LSU won.
I think it's the Smoothie King Arena.
Yeah. Sarah Finnegan got a 10 on floor. Oh, okay.
That was 2019.
Yeah. Anyways, I think the stars are just aligning for LSU. I can absolutely see this happening.
They've pretty much been the top SEC team all season. I feel like they're getting better every single week. And anything in their realm of normal, I think, is going to be enough for them to win this. Yes. I think I would be shocked if they didn't win.
Yeah. Kentucky, though, I kind of went back and forth on whether I think Florida would finish second or Kentucky.
Same.
And I'm going Kentucky because they've had a historic season so far. And I think they're just fired up and, like, kind of on a roll. And I could see them going out there, nailing all their vaults, you know, nailing their floor routines.
Well, they have nothing to lose. You know what I mean? Like, they've been a top 3 SEC team all season. And anything higher than 4th here is going to be a historic finish for them. They mm-hmm. have not finished higher than 4th. They actually did that last year at SECs. So I think the vibes are just good for them going in. They're also coming off a season-high road performance from this past weekend. So they've had some energy and momentum building in their favor. And we're seeing athletes like Raina Worley get higher scores, finally get rewarded for some of the perfect gymnastics that she's been doing her entire career. But now suddenly the judges are like, you deserve a 10 or a 9.975.
And to be fair, she's always deserved it. But the judges are just now willing to admit that.
They feel like they have permission. And then they have Creslin Bros, who was on the show last week. She's like the 9.975 to 9.95 queen on floor. They've really just had a lot of consistency in their lineups. And sometimes they have moments where they're a little bit off.
I think Beam is kind of the biggest question mark for Kentucky.
Totally. And sometimes bar landings. But I think that with them doing what they've done all season long, they have an excellent shot at contending for second and maybe first, depending on what happens. But I think if LSU does what they are expected to do, they're going to run away with it, in my opinion.
And of course, Florida is always in the conversation. Even if you try to pretend like they aren't, they always are. I could absolutely see Florida contending for the title as well. I could see Florida finishing second, but I could also see Florida finishing third. And, you know, what I found interesting was a couple weeks ago when we went back and we rescored the Kentucky versus Florida meet, where the regular season title was on the line, Florida actually ended up winning that competition. But if you check out the scores from our rescore, which is on the Patreon app, if you want to see the breakdown, we actually had Kentucky come out on top.
And we had Florida score about a point lower. They scored like over a 198. And we had them like just over a 197.
So I just don't want people to underestimate what Kentucky is capable of doing.
Yeah.
Especially when they've got a fire under their butts, which I think they do.
I think they have nothing to lose. You know what I mean? Like I said, the chances that they're going to place in the top 4 is likely. So they are coming in most likely in a position to make history regardless of what they do. So yeah. I think that they're going to have that fire and that energy and that mentality of like, we don't really have anything to lose. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody is necessarily expecting them to win. So just like go out there and do your thing and see where they fall. So Florida, I have to say, I've been really impressed with their pacing this season. I feel like they started out really slow. I remember back at the beginning of the season, so many people were saying that Florida wasn't even going to make nationals after like week two or three. And I was like, they have an extremely talented team. It's just a lot of freshmen. And you sometimes have to give those athletes time to build their confidence and consistency. And I feel like now we're seeing that. Like Danny Ferris is hitting in the way that I think we thought she was going to. Skylar Dreiser has really turned it on. I've been super impressed with her.
Yeah, she's contributing more than I thought she would. And it's not that like I didn't think she was going to contribute at all. But with all the talented freshmen they had coming in, as well as the veterans on the team, I kind of saw her kind of being like an in and out of the lineup type person.
Yeah.
But she's been consistently in and doing really well.
Her vault landings are improving a lot. Her beam has been so solid. She's been a very integral part, I think, to Florida's success this season. And then, of course, the freshman, Anya Pilgrim, has been an absolute rock. I actually, my hot take is that I think she's been a little bit underscored this season. I think that she's been doing pretty much the same routine on almost every event every week. It's very, very rare to see that from a freshman. That level of confidence, but also consistency right out the gate. And I don't know that she always gets rewarded for it in the way that I think she's going to when I'm watching her. So I think it's been nice to see this freshman class for Florida, you know, finally reaching their full potential or closer to their full potential. And then, of course, you have people like Sloane Blakely, who's really turned it on in the second half of season. She's gotten a lot more consistent. Leanne Wan is doing Leanne Wan thing. She rested this past week, but I think that's smart heading into the postseason. She'll be nice and fresh and ready to go, hopefully. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a battle no matter what. I think the SECs is one of the most unclear conference championships. Some of these other ones that we're going to go through, I think, have a lot more clear path to the winner. Where SECs, as always, it's super competitive, and you could on any given day see any of these teams. Even a team outside of the ones that we mentioned, you know, Bama. Bama's been turning it on in the second half of the season. I don't think they're going to win necessarily, but could they find themselves in the mix? Yeah.
I also don't think that, what was it, 2021, the year that they won? Yeah, it was 2021 was the year where nobody that was expected to win conference championships won. Like Denver beat Oklahoma.
Minnesota beat Michigan.
Bama won SECs.
I don't remember who won Pac-12s.
But basically, it felt like every conference had an upset.
I think it did. Like, in terms of the big conferences, every single conference was upset.
Yeah, Eastern Michigan won MAC that year. So, you never know. You can never say never.
2021 taught us that for sure. Never say never. But yeah, I'm excited to see what happens. I think it could be anybody's game. My money is on LSU. I would love to see Kentucky come out on top. Let me make that clear. I love history being made. And so to see them come out on top, I would be absolutely thrilled. But I think the momentum and the energy to win, I think with LSU being at home, with the way they've been scoring, with the way that they've been improving, it's the fact that they could pull somebody out of their lineups who's a top athlete, and they could put somebody in who is roughly capable of getting the same score. I think that's really building up to, you know, the stars kind of aligning for LSU this year.
So we're locking in our final three with LSU, Kentucky, and Florida. Okay, moving on to the Big Ten championships. I have Michigan State on top, Michigan second, and Ohio State third.
Okay, I have Michigan State on top, Michigan second, Minnesota in third. But I have here that it could also be Ohio State. That one's kind of a toss-up to me.
Yeah.
I think that if everybody goes out there and does what they've done all season, Michigan State is the clear favorite to win.
Yep. They're at home. I think the vibes are good.
The vibes are absolutely good.
The vibes are immaculate. This team is hungrier than ever. We went and watched them last weekend. So when they were facing Fisk, Greenville, and...
Central Michigan,
yep. They were just absolutely on fire. And they have been at various points in the season.
Ashley and I just kept looking at each other throughout the meet and going, oh, it's so over.
We're like sitting there clapping and then we're like side-eyeing and looking at each other out of the corner of our eyes.
But honestly, like, they deserve it. Like, they have just been so on. And granted, this past week, they actually didn't have their best performance. They had one of their worst performances of the season. They just barely cracked 197.
Again, as we just said, anything can happen. That's always a possibility.
Totally. But I think when you're looking at the entire body of work, there's no doubt in my mind that MSU is absolutely the favorite to win this championship. And for that to be their first championship in history, I might cry for them. I love this team. I think we've been seeing their potential for years. And I think it's been hard for them because at the same time, they've been building. But Michigan, the past several years, has had, you know, one of their best teams in program history. So it was kind of getting overshadowed, I think. The fact that Michigan State was also silently building. They went from being a team that was ranked in the low 20s to being a top 10 team
nationally. Oh, my gosh. I remember.
Within, like, 3 years.
Yeah, I remember we went to regionals in 2017? 18. It was either 17 or 18. I think it was 17.
I think it was 17.
And Eastern Michigan, we went to Champaign. That's where the regionals were, Champaign, Illinois. Eastern Michigan was there as a team, and Michigan State had individuals.
So that tells
Michigan
you-
State was quite literally the worst school in the state of Michigan.
And you could probably say one of the worst teams in the country. Like, that is fair to say.
Yeah.
And the fact that when Mike Rowe took over, he built that program to be a top 10 team consistently this season or hovering around that mark, I don't even have words to say. Like, their rise has been so amazing to watch. And I'm so genuinely happy for them. I think maybe some people would be confused by the fact that, you know, us being as big of Michigan fans as we are, like, how could we be happy for a team like Michigan State that honestly a lot of their success is kind of coming at the expense of Michigan in a lot of ways. But I've always just loved seeing history made, and I love watching good gymnastics. And I think when a team like Michigan State is doing what they've been doing all season long, they're earning it in my mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't be mad about that. I have nothing but respect for them.
I would be annoyed if Michigan State was beating Michigan because Michigan State was being, like, horrifically overscored or something. But that's just not happening. Like, Michigan State has been on fire this whole season. Mm-hmm. When they showed up at Michigan during the regular season and beat Michigan and went 1-9-8 for the first time this season, they were just unstoppable from start to finish. Like, they never wavered. And they've been like that at various points throughout this season, which is why I feel that they have an edge coming into Big Ten championships. And it also helps that they're hosting it.
They are going to have a very loud and strong and passionate crowd there.
And I think this is the first time that they're entering championships. Yeah, with the mindset that, like, they're the favorites. Like, it's always possible that they could win. Like, last year, it was possible that they could win. But Michigan was always still the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the first time ever in history, Michigan State is the favorite. And they know that. And I think that they're going to use that to their advantage. So we'll see. And it's not impossible for Michigan. I just think Michigan would either need to have their absolute best day, like their best performance of the entire season,
mm-hmm.
or they're going to need some help.
Yeah. Is it possible that Michigan could show up and turn it on and have their season high? Totally, that's possible. The routines are there. Michigan is struggling with the little things this season. The landings on vault, the landings on bars. Beam and floor has been pretty solid. And they finish on those two events. That's something else to watch for. Michigan is starting on their weakest events, and they're finishing on their stronger events, which, if they can keep it close, that could be good for them momentum-wise to know that, like, even if you're coming from behind, you're finishing on your two best events. It's easier to gain tenths in that kind of way. So that'll be interesting, but I think that knowing the way that Michigan State has been performing, Michigan is going to need to do something that they haven't done all season, and that is be on and firing on all cylinders on all four events in one meet.
And it would be a huge boost if they could get Naomi Morrison back on at least an even bars and maybe potentially vault. I really have a hard time imagining that that's going to happen for Big Ten championships. I think if anything, maybe regionals is a possibility.
That's what I believe the plan is. I think that for regionals, they're trying to have Naomi back at least on bars and vault, which would be a boost for them for sure on those two events. They're quote-unquote weaker events. Not even quote-unquote. It just is their weaker events. Having Naomi back would be several tenths that I think could boost their score for sure. But we're talking Big Tens next week. That's a very, very short window of time.
Right. At this point, when we're sitting here recording this right now, it's less than a week away.
Yes. So
never say never. We've already said that a million times, but in a sport like gymnastics, you can truly never say never. There is always the possibility that Michigan will go in there, turn it on.
Because you could say they feel like they have nothing to lose to at this point. Like, they know they're not the favorites. They know they haven't been competing the way that they were hoping to this season. They are going to be a third seed at regionals, and in a lot of ways, the season just isn't going the way that they were hoping to. So that could be a boost for them as well, just to know that, like, we truly have nothing to lose, you know? Like, just go in and do your thing. But they haven't been able to do that this season. So I think in a week's time, we will see what this Michigan team is made of.
And then for third, so I had Ohio State, you had Minnesota. I agree, it's kind of a wash. It could go either way.
I think that Minnesota has been looking really good this season. They are much improved on Beam this year than they were, you know, from last season. Bars, I think, has been the weak spot for them. If they can get their bar routines firing the way that I think they're capable of, I would give them the edge over Ohio State.
I just feel like Ohio State, you can never overlook. They also had a really, really strong start to the season. Mm-hmm. And I think have that ability to turn it on when it matters most. They're ranked 15th nationally, but Minnesota is ranked 16th. So,
right. So they're like neck and neck. I also think that Ohio State and Minnesota are the kind of teams that if a team like Michigan or Michigan State were to be off and they are on, they can absolutely capitalize.
Okay, so we're going Michigan State, Michigan, and then Ashley has Ohio State and Brittany has Minnesota as her third pick, or third placement, I should say. Okay, so moving on to the Big 12. I think this one is probably the most predictable.
Yeah.
With Oklahoma coming out on top, Denver second, and then I have Iowa State third.
I had BYU third.
Okay, yeah. Their first year in the Big 12, they want to make a splash.
Yeah, they're the third highest Big 12 team, technically. So, okay. And from what I've seen of them, I haven't watched them a whole lot this season, but from what I have seen, they look good. I think it's similar to what we just said with Ohio State, Minnesota. Kind of a toss-up, like it could be any team.
Mm-hmm. But for number one, Oklahoma, I think that's pretty clear. They've, you know, been so dominant, and I think they would literally have to implode at Big 12s.
But we did say that about 2021, and Denver won that year.
That's
so
true.
We're terrified to make predictions, if you can't tell, because...
No, I mean, this is just... These are just our predictions, and obviously we are acknowledging that anything can happen. But I'm pretty confident that if things go normal... Oklahoma will win.
Yeah.
Denver will finish second. And then I guess third could go either way.
Yeah, between BYU, Iowa State, or West Virginia. Denver, I got to give them a shout out. They're coming off their second highest road score in program history.
Yeah, back to back.
They did that on the road at Michigan. The broadcast is on YouTube if you want to go listen to us commentate. And I was really impressed with Denver because they had a lot of adversity coming into that meet, and the way that they responded to that, I think, is like huge.
Yeah,
huge sign.
Coming off of their highest road score in program history as they were coming into Michigan, the momentum was high, I think, but then they had all these travel issues with flights getting canceled because of a snowstorm in Denver, and the team had to take like a bunch of different flights and fly in at different times, and
it took away one of their training days.
Yep, they ended up training in Michigan's gym on Thursday morning, and they were also in exams, and they had like a academic support person that traveled with them. So I honestly, especially with the way Denver hasn't performed like the absolute best on the road this season, I maybe kind of expected to see a little bit of nerves from them. And then Rosie Casale,
yeah,
one of their stars, one of their all-arounders, had a really scary fall on bars in the warm-up, like before the competition started. Not like right before the competition.
Not in the one touch. It was in the warm-up.
Yes, yes. I couldn't think of what it was called. Thank
you. Her hand slipped off the back of the table, and it was interesting because I had noticed that her hands were really far back on the table the vault prior. And I almost said something to you about it.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
But she landed it and it was fine. And then the next time she went, same thing happened, but her hand slipped this time. And she kind of had a scary fall. So she sat there for a minute. I think they were checking her out for like concussion type protocol. She was pulled back for a while and then eventually for the meet came out. And
she looked very upset.
She looked more upset than anything. Like it wasn't giving injury to me. It was giving like upset that she pulled out of the meet, mm-hmm, and upset and maybe scared and rattled by what happened.
But Denver, whoops, sorry, I hit my little pop filter. Denver absolutely rallied. They had people step in that were originally slated to be the exhibitions, and they were phenomenal. And with all of the obstacles going into that meet,
they had every excuse in the book to be off.
They did. But then they came out with an even higher road score than they had from the week prior.
Like I said, the second highest in program history in terms of road scores.
Yeah, so another record. I think that's incredible. So they are definitely building momentum and kind of heading in the right direction. And
they jumped in the rankings because of that finish too. So that, mm-hmm, score allowed them to move up currently as it stands from a third seed to a second seed. And granted, we're recording this right now on Sunday at like noon. So Bama hasn't gone yet. And I think that Bama has a chance to jump up as well. So just know when you're listening to this that that hasn't happened yet is the time that I'm recording this. But they are looking good. If they can get another solid score at Big 12s next week, they could be a second seed at regionals,
mm-hmm.
which is a massive improvement from where they started the season.
So we're locking in with Oklahoma, number one, Denver, number two, and then Ashley has Iowa State as three, and Brittany has BYU as three. Pac-12 championships, the last Pac-12 championships. I'm going to throw up.
Is that the sound you make when you throw up?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I think it just hit me in this moment. Like, oh my gosh, this is it.
You're so dramatic.
I'm not joking. I genuinely, in that moment, I'm looking down at my notes and I have Pac-12 and I'm like, this is the last Pac-12 championships.
See, I've been thinking about it all season. I've been like mentally preparing for this moment.
Thanks for invalidating my feelings.
I'm not invalidating your feelings. I think it's going to be incredibly sad. Like, I think there's a strong possibility that I'll cry.
And I think there's a strong possibility that history is going to be made.
Oh, that too.
So I have Cal coming out on top.
And I don't even think it's going to be close. I think that Cal is going to like wipe the floor with everybody at Pac-12s. Watch me be wrong. Just the way they've been looking. They are so, so close to the level that Oklahoma's at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they're going to beat Oklahoma at Nationals. I just have been watching them all season long. And they are so, so close.
Yeah.
If any team. To being that team that could win it all.
Yeah.
They are giving, I think we've said this before on the show, they're giving Michigan 2021.
Yeah. And I felt that about Cal last year, honestly. We said this when we had Liz Crandall Howell on the show when we did our like little preview thing for Cal. You know, watching them last year at regionals when they won their first ever regional to advance to NCAAs, I kind of in that moment felt like Cal could win this.
Like, they are really good.
And then this year, they're even better.
And I think they have the confidence, finally. That yeah. was something that Maya Lazan talked about in our podcast from a couple months ago. I think that was the biggest thing that was hurting them last year. Is they would, you know, make it to the national championships. They're in a position where they were set up to advance to the Final Four last year. And they get to that moment, and they get in their heads a little bit. And they start making mistakes that they haven't made all season. But this year, I feel like we haven't seen that from them. They just no. seem like their confidence is at an all-time high. And I have no reason to believe that that's going to change anytime soon.
Yeah. And only three schools right now have an NQS in the 198s. And that is Oklahoma, Cal, and LSU. Florida is pretty close. But right now, it's just those three. And Cal competes twice this weekend, so as we're recording this, Cal is going to compete again today on Sunday.
But their NQS isn't going to go down. It can only go up, and they're already in second behind Oklahoma
with a 198-180. Yeah. So they're just having a record season once again, and I think they're going for that Pac-12 title.
And Utah, I think they've looked solid all season long.
Definitely better in the second half of the season as opposed to the first.
Which I actually think is impressive, given that they haven't had Amelie Morgan the past several weeks.
Yeah.
So I was expecting them to kind of, like, not drop off, that's dramatic to say, but, I don't know, be a little bit more off, kind of like in the way that UCLA has been without Emma Malabuyo, which mm-hmm. we can get to that in a second. But Utah didn't really let up. Like, they weren't perfect. They're still, almost every time I watch Utah, there's something that I see that I'm like, they could work on that. Particularly like vault landings. I don't think I've seen them stick hardly any vault landings all year. I think we said that in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Bars hasn't been the greatest. Like, there's definitely areas where they're not as sharp. But I think they're one of those teams that has the ability to turn it on. And I think that having Amelie back starting next week at the Pac-12 championships is only going to be a boost to their scores and also their confidence.
Utah is one of those teams that when the pressure is on, I feel like they rise to the occasion.
They do.
I said that with like a southern twang in my voice. I was like, they rise to the occasion. But I agree with that. They do rise to the occasion. I don't feel like they get like intimidated by the situation.
They don't.
A pressure situation.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, if Cal makes mistakes, absolutely. Other teams can jump right in there and go and get it. UCLA could be in that mix as well.
Yeah.
They've been a little more inconsistent this season. They do have Emma Malabuyo back. She only did beam last week on senior night. But they have Margaretta Frazier, who's back on floor. They have Shea Campbell, who's back on floor.
Which is huge.
And I do think that The scores were definitely flying on senior night. So that mid 198 score that UCLA got, I don't think is necessarily indicative of the performance we saw. It's not to say that they can't go 198 or they can't challenge Cal.
Not to say that that was even a bad performance last weekend. It was a great performance. I think that's one of the best, most complete meets that we've seen from UCLA this season. So they're looking a lot better. And I think having these people back, like MML Buyo and Shea on floor and Mars on floor, like that's only going to help boost their confidence going into postseason and also their scoring potential. I just feel like we haven't seen quite enough from UCLA yet for me to feel like they have a chance at beating Utah and especially Cal with how on and consistent they've been all season, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's totally a possibility. I think that UCLA is going to be a very dangerous third seed at regionals.
They always are.
I would hate to have them as my third seed at regionals because mm-hmm. they are absolutely the kind of team that will show up and you'll be like, oh, they're a third seed. They've been off all season. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, we're fine. But they're the kind of person that will come for your favorite team.
They're a third seed that very much can act like a number one seed.
Yeah. Maybe not number one, but like a solid number
I think
two seed.
I think on the right day, they can act like a number one seed.
Maybe. Yeah.
So we're going Cal, Utah, UCLA. You lock it in?
Yes.
Okay. And last but not least, we have the ACC championships. Now, it feels like it's going to be the first ACC championships. It's technically not. There was one in the 80s. I don't have the exact year on me. I think it was like 1984, if I'm not mistaken. But in the 80s for sure. And NC State won.
So you think this is like a positive omen for them?
Maybe. Because I have NC State number one, Clemson two, and Pitt S three.
Same thing. I am shocked because I thought you were going to have Clemson number one. You've been like riding the Clemson train all season.
They've been fun to watch. I'm enjoying them.
You've been really enjoying them.
I have. Whenever I have a chance to watch them, I like to watch them. I think they're fun to watch. It's fun to watch a team make history. And also, like, there's so much hype and excitement surrounding the ACC right now. We're going to get Bart and Kathy commentating ACC championships. Which
I think just makes it even more exciting. We have some things to talk about, though, with Bart and Kathy.
That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if we have the plans or the time in this episode to do it, but
I'm very happy that
somebody should submit a question of the week about that, so I have an excuse to talk about that next week.
But yes, NC State I have on top. So here's the interesting thing. I think it could be very close between NC State or Clemson. Here's some data for you. So Clemson has the highest score out of all the teams in the ACC, but not by much. So they have a 1.976 and NC State has a 1.97575. So Clemson has scored a quarter tenth higher than NC State in their highest scoring meet of the season. What's the look on your face for?
The look on my face is I don't believe scores.
That's fine. I don't either. Can we talk averages?
Yeah.
On average, Clemson has the higher average as well with a 1.96518 to NC State's 1.96. Did I say 1.96 for Clemson? I feel like I said the wrong number.
I'm
going to say it again because I feel like I said the wrong number. 1.96518 is Clemson's average. And then NC State's average is 1.96502.
So they're super close.
They're super close in average as well.
See, but I think that Clemson has been given a lot of gifts this season.
You think that there's like a lot of hype that's contributing to some extra tenths?
Yes. I think they get 9.9s that are like a 9.8 routine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the judges are excited. And, like, I think when I've watched a lot of Clemson this year, and I'm not saying they're not good. Like, their vault at UCLA was, like,
it was really good.
They were amazing. I was, like, shook. And they have, like, so many highlights. Lily Lippitt has been amazing on bars and beam. Kylan McCright's beam, I've loved.
We're big Kylan McCright fans. Bree Clark on floor is a superstar.
I'm, like, pointing. I'm, like, what was I saying?
Yes. You're, like, read my mind. Who am I trying to say?
And you did. Yeah, so Lauren Rutherford has been great. Like, they have so many. Is it Rutherford?
We do this every time.
No, it's Rutherford.
It's Rutherford.
Okay, I got it right. They have so many talented athletes on their team. So they're capable of getting one of these scores and having it be legit. I think I've been a little bit skeptical with their scoring.
Yeah.
I prefer to look at the performance and talk about the performance that we're seeing.
That's fair.
Versus being like, oh, the Clemson has the highest score. Because I'm like, yeah, and there's a lot of teams that went 1-8 this year that should have been like low to mid 197s.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. When you're basing it just off the performance, I think NC State is cleaner. I think they have less deductions overall.
Yes.
And when you look at NQS, so NC State, despite Clemson having the higher average, NC State has the higher NQS, mm-hmm. just slightly. It's still very, very small. NC State has a 196.960 to Clemson's 196.690. Mm-hmm. So NQS, NC State has a little bit of an edge with NQS, but NC State also won the first ever regular season ACC title.
They did.
And were undefeated in the ACC.
Yeah. My gut is saying NC State. Something about that just feels right to me.
And the storyline of NC State potentially winning the ACC title for the first time in like 40-ish years mm-hmm. since the last ACC championships when that program won, wouldn't that just be badass?
It would, but it also would be cool to see Clemson win it in their inaugural season. So I think we're going to be satisfied no matter what happens. Like, I think this is one of those conference championships where I won't be mad no matter what happens.
I'm super excited for ACCs. Honestly, we're going to be at Big Tens, so I don't know time-wise. I haven't looked at the schedule yet to see when everything falls. But I think aside from being at Big Tens, the next conference championships that I'm most excited to watch is probably going to be ACC championships. You're trying to like make fun of me for being in Clemson so much this season.
I'm not making fun of you. I just think it's funny because you're just like,
let's watch Clemson.
Yeah, you like prioritize it over everything. Like you would, if you had a pick between like
she's about to lie right now.
Taking care of your most basic needs, like eating and watching a Clemson meet, you would pick watching a Clemson.
That's not true. What I would do is I would see what time Clemson was on, and I'd get lunch or dinner, whatever it is, to be ready to eat during the Clemson meet. So I'm meeting my basic needs, but I'm also watching Clemson.
I know. You're just a Clemson girly, and that's totally
I'm really
fine.
Not.
You are.
I just think they're fun.
You always want to watch them. I've enjoyed watching Clemson as well.
They're fun to watch. They give SEC vibes.
They do.
And just like the SEC teams, let's be real. Watching Friday Night Heights, watching SEC teams, regardless of who it is, something about that is just more exciting sometimes than some of the other conferences.
And I like that they're getting, the ACC conference in general is getting the better commentators. Like, Kathy has done several ACC
and
meets.
Kennedy Baker did one, I think, this season.
Yeah. Who's the other commentator? Cindy Snead.
Yeah.
Cindy Snead has done a great job.
Yeah, they're getting more television coverage. I think they're getting a little bit more, like, national attention now that they're an actual, you know, Power Five conference.
Yeah, and I think that does help with interest from fans. It does make you feel like big things are happening in that conference and you want to like be a part of it.
And then seeing Clemson, like the crowds that they've been getting,
it's been amazing.
Yeah, they've been selling. I think they said yesterday during the meet with UCLA that they sold out like three of their meets. And they already have like over 1,000 season ticket holders lined up for next year.
And we've never seen a team come out the gates as strong as Clemson has in terms of like how they market themselves and ticket sales, but also just like their gymnastics. Like to see a lineup on vault like Clemson has where they're having, you know, multiple 10-0 start value vaults, e-passes on floor, big gymnastics, clean gymnastics. They have some big recruits in the coming years. So, like, it's a team that's very, very exciting to watch and on the rise.
Mm-hmm. But we still have NC State coming out on top.
Yes, I do. But that's just because that's, like, what the vibe is for me.
I think it
you
could
know,
go either
you can't
way.
Explain it. You just have, like, a feeling about something.
Yeah.
To me, it just seems like this year is NC State's. But Clemson, I think, is building towards something really special. And I also wouldn't be surprised, to be perfectly clear. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying that I think that NC State's going to run away with it. I just, that's my prediction. Us being so afraid to have opinions.
It's scary to have opinions in this day and age.
It is.
So we will make that the...
Oh, did we say Pitt? Pitt third?
Pitt third. We did say Pitt third. But if we didn't say Pitt third, Pitt third. So we will make this the question of the week for you guys. If you're listening on Spotify, you can participate. Unfortunately, if you're listening on any of the other apps, I don't think you can participate in it because Spotify is like the host platform for our podcast. So if you're listening on Spotify, you'll see a little question box and we will put in there, what are your predictions for, go ahead and just give us the winner of each of the Power Five conferences. And if you want to throw in any of the other conferences as well, you can.
We just wanted to keep this more concise for time's sake, knowing that we had Lainey interview in the front of this and knowing that this would probably turn into like another almost hour conversation.
We always, like 10 minutes. We're going to make this quick. Let's bust this out. And then we talk for an hour. Can't help it. But We want to hear your guys' thoughts. So leave that down below and then we will publish them as they come in.
And also send us some more questions of the week. We're not going to do it in this episode just because, again, time's sake, unless you wanted to.
Unless we have one that's really quick. Take a look.
Okay. BRB.
Okay, we found a quick one and a fun one. So someone said, hi, out of the top five NCAA teams that made it to nationals last year, which team would you replace for a lower-ranked team? For example, Auburn, Ohio State, etc. Thanks. Love from Singapore. So just a refresher in case anyone forgot, the top five teams were Oklahoma, Florida. Oh my gosh.
Why are you doing that?
Oklahoma, Florida, Utah.
Okay, now you're... Give me this. Oklahoma, Florida, Utah, LSU, UCLA.
Thank you. So if I had to remove somebody, it's hard because I genuinely enjoy watching all of the top teams. I don't, like, actually want to remove anybody.
Well, it's not personal. It's just you got to make room for somebody else.
So... I should remove Oklahoma. They've had enough.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking I was going to say Florida, but you know what? Screw it. Okay, I'd get rid of Oklahoma and I'd put Michigan State in.
I was going to say Michigan State, too, but I didn't know. They finished the season in 11th, right? Yeah, they were 11th. Does that count as lower ranked?
I mean, I would think so.
If you count Michigan State, then my answer is Michigan State. If you don't count Michigan State, then my answer would be Georgia.
That's a good one.
Because,
oh my god, it would be so cool to see them back at nationals.
Yeah, like back to the glory days, you know? So that
I
would
can get down with that.
That would be my answer.
And you're replacing Oklahoma. My initial thought was going to be Florida, just because I feel like I don't have any emotional attachment to Florida. But now that you say Oklahoma, like, my mind didn't even consider them.
I don't really have an emotional attachment to any of the teams in the top five last year. Maybe aside from UCLA, but I enjoy watching all those teams, so I don't want to get rid of any of them, but... Yeah, we could switch it up, get rid of Oklahoma.
And put it in Michigan State. I could be on board with that. All right, final answer.
Locked in.
If you have a question that you would like us to answer in regards to anything elite related, college gymnastics related, just random stuff that you think of, we always have a link down below in the show notes to our anonymous submission form. And you can also find it in the bio of our social media pages. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at All Things Gym Pod, and we're also on TikTok, although TikTok might be shutting down, but follow us while you can. We post on there, and also we're on YouTube, and we've been posting full video version of some of the interviews that we do. So last week's episode with Creslin Bros is on YouTube, and we have some other ones as well, like Haley Bryant, Carly Patterson, Savannah Shane Hare, who else?
Hillary Heron,
yeah. So for those of you that prefer like a visual component instead of just like listening,
that's something that we want to be better with, but it's hard. It's just like another thing that you have to do on top of like editing the audio and all the promo stuff. Like,
it's another step, yeah. But I think it's a step that we would like to start taking more. So make sure you go subscribe so you don't miss any videos that we upload on our YouTube channel. That does it for this week's episode. We hope you all enjoyed it. And of course, we'd like to end by thanking our Patreon supporters for making this show possible. We are sending you all virtual hugs. We love you so much. And thank you so much for supporting us.
If you're a gold level Patreon, be on the lookout for a rescore of the Clemson versus UCLA meet. We haven't done it yet as of the time that we're recording this, but it's possible that by the time you're listening to this, we will have it out. But keep your eyes on the Patreon app because we do plan to get that out soon. And then next week, we'll be back with an episode recapping conference championships and getting ready for regionals. We hope you guys have an awesome week and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.